wanted to have a service for him. And it was a busy time of year. It was right at the beginning of the school year. And I said, well, we'll have a service, but we're going to need to wait a couple weekends. And so I wrapped him up in a Chipotle bag and put him in the freezer.
Welcome to Episode 3 of the Give Your Photo Stories podcast, recorded January 20th, 2014. This is Debbie Hodge from GetItScrapped.com, the home of Story Swoop and the Get It Scrapped membership, where an all-access pass gets you into our library of over 40 classes, weekly live events, and a new class the first Wednesday of every month. In this episode of Give Your Photo Stories, we're looking at photos of bugs and critters and telling our stories about them. You might have a recurring critter visitor, a bug or a critter you're afraid of, an unusual childhood pet, or a memorable run-in with one. We'll share our stories, and I hope you'll share yours in the comments. I have three guests with me here today. Carrie Eric is a digital scrapbooker and a member of several creative teams, including the one here at Get It Scrapped. Hi, Carrie.
Hi.
Tell us where we can find you online and what's going on in your life right now.
Well, you can find me online at my personal blog, digiscrapgeek.blogspot.com. And then I'm also blogging over at myscrapbookart.com. And I don't really have anything going on right now. I'm really far into the Lily Pads 31 Days of Challenges.
Yeah.
Right now, which is making a page every day. And at the end of January, I'll have 31 new scrapbook pages, which is really exciting, but really intense.
I know. And when you told me you were doing that, I said, oh, and you'll get $20. And you didn't even know that.
No, because I'm so caught up in making the pages at this point.
Well, I'm glad you're here now. We've also got Katrina Kennedy here. Katrina Kennedy is the owner of Capture Your 365, where she teaches and hosts a community for photographers. Katrina, tell us about your site, where it's at, and what's going on with you.
Absolutely. You can find me at Katrina. That's the wrong one. I'm going to try that one over again. You can find me at captureyour365.com, and it's a community for everyday photographers. So moms wanting to improve their photography and folks who have been taking photos for a long time. And we're gearing up to start on February 4th, the year-long practice class, where we're going to dig into lots of techniques to improve your photography.
Cool. Well, I'm glad you're here with us today.
I'm glad I'm here,
especially, too. Especially, because we can talk a little bit about photographing bugs and critters.
Yes.
We also have Ronnie Crowley here. Ronnie is a digital scrapbooker and a member of online creative teams, including the Get It Scrapped team. Ronnie, tell us where to find you online and what your life is all about right now.
Hi, Debbie. Yeah, you'll find me mostly on my Going Digi Facebook page. I do have goingdigi.com. I don't know when I last blogged, so a failure at blogging, really, but mostly I'm around at Get It Scrapped and Simple Scrapper, working with Jennifer over there and taking classes. I love taking classes, so
yeah,
I'm up to my ears in classes at the moment.
What are you taking right now?
I'm taking the Stacey Julian one, which is about seasons this month, and I'm doing a Tiffany Tillman one on shadowing, and then I'm trying to catch up on some of the ones at Get It Scrapped that I have not done yet.
Oh yeah, I keep meaning to take a class at Tiffany's site, Scrapaneers.
Mm-hmm.
Is
she's
it your
got
first
a great one?
One?
No, it's the second one, but the one she's doing at the moment is all about shadowing, and it's her specifically, and it's that I've. Even though I know quite a bit of shadowing, I've learned things. I'm like, whoa, I didn't know I could do this. Yeah.
Well, and I met you and Carrie in classes you were taking at Get It Scrapped.
Yep. I love taking classes. I'm a classaholic.
Yeah, you were in the daytime workshop and Carrie was in the nighttime.
Mm-hmm.
And both forces. So we asked you to be on the creative team.
I enjoy it.
So again, I'm Debbie Hodge. I'm a digital scrapbooker, and I live in New Hampshire with my husband and two sons. They're home today for Martin Luther King Day. I just got back from my writing group. I was telling these guys beforehand I was going to quit my writing group. I keep going, planning to tell people I'm going to quit because it takes so much time. But every time I go, I really enjoy it because writing's a really good thing to do. And talking about writing's good. And we're going to talk about stories here today.
See, it applies.
Yeah, I mean, it does. I had my whole spiel, you know, why I wasn't going to come anymore. And as when we got through it, I just enjoyed, I so enjoyed it that I didn't tell them. So
now they all know if they listen to the podcast.
Yeah.
That's right.
I did say to them, I came here planning to quit, but yeah, because I really love writing and I really love talking about writing and I love talking about people's stories. And we're going to talk about stories today, bugs and critters. I'm not sure. You know, I threw out a bunch of topics and for some reason this was one like, boom, I had you three immediately with good stories.
Well, I feel like I live in a issue of National Geographic sometimes. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we just have. I mean, we live in it. Like, we have a lot of wetlands around us and farms. So, you know, every season there's a new set of bugs that try and invade. So.
Well, and yeah, and I guess cats don't. We're not really going to talk about house pets, but you did have. You said you posted on the forums the other day that you're about to become the crazy cat lady.
Oh, I'm already the crazy cat lady, and my neighbors keep giving me cats, so I'm gonna have to put a sign on my door to tell them to stop.
We've been doing live crops at sometimes on Saturdays. In fact, Doris is setting up one for Saturday, February 1st. And anybody can come, and the link will be in the forums. And it seems like there's always, like, we can have six webcams up at a time. It seems like there's always at least 50% of them, there's cats in the webcam all the time. Like, Doris has her cat on her desk, Marsha.
Well, Christine. I think I'll have to bring my guinea pigs on the first.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Don't have a cat, yeah. But I could bring the guinea pigs. It's just...
You have to add the disclaimers. Cat's not required.
Katrina, you're a cat person too, right?
I am not.
Oh, you're not? Why did I think that? Do you have any pets?
I do. I have a rabbit and a chicken and a fish and two dogs. And I actually really, really dislike cats. Because they dig and poop in my garden.
Oh, yeah, I bet they do.
Yeah, and my garden's very dear, so I'm not fond of the cat. Sorry, I just made a million enemies
in your neighborhood. No, I don't have the pet. I don't have any pets. I don't have that. As my husband said, like, well, my kids remember the one time they really knew I was drunk. I said I wanted a dog, and they'll always bring that up. Remember, Mom, you were so drunk you wanted a dog.
My son was negotiating for a dog this weekend, and I would let him have a dog, but my husband is allergic to my daughter is terrified of dogs. So I was the good mom. I said, well, you just need to persuade your dad and your sister and you can have a dog, knowing full well that there was no hope.
Yeah.
My son asked for a dog or for a brother, and we said, well, you can have a dog instead.
That's a good compromise.
Exactly.
See, I can barely feed my family, so I couldn't take on that extra responsibility. So let's talk about creatures that aren't necessarily pets. And we'll start by talking about the kind that you observe, you know, that recurring visitor to your home that you see. And Katrina, you have some pictures. Can you describe your pictures and tell us a story about it?
Absolutely. So the first picture is a photo of a praying mantis. And she's in my garden on a garden trellis. And so it's got I love the background of it because it's just that, you know, kind of weathered wood. But the really interesting thing about her that caught my eye was the fact that you could tell she was about to lay an egg. So she was really large. And praying mantis are crucial to the garden. They eat the bad bugs. So anytime I see them, I am so excited because I know that we're going to have balance in the garden. And so I had watched her for several weeks, and she didn't really leave a general area of the garden, so I could go back and see her over and over again. And then one day I went out and I didn't see her, but I found the egg that she had laid, and they attach them to you know, wood or a plant or something so that they kind of blend in. And she had attached it to the trellis where I had originally found her.
Have you scrapbooked this?
I haven't. I've written the story down, and it's in the metadata of the photos, but I haven't actually put it on a page yet.
I didn't know that a praying mantis, that you could actually find, like, to me, the idea that you could go find the same praying mantis every day seems kind of incredible.
Isn't it? And I knew it was her because she was so large. And I think it may only be at the point when they're getting ready to lay eggs that, you know, that may have been why she was so
that
easy
she
to
would settle
see.
In.
Right.
Why does this story really matter? I think it's interesting that this is a story that this compelled you and you took a photo and you want to remember it.
Oh, it absolutely compelled me. Well, my garden, like I said, is so, so important to my mental well-being, as you know, as well as a source of food for my family. And so to find her out there, it's kind of a big deal to find her, first of all, because we have spent the last 5 years taking an overgrown, neglected, forgotten backyard and transforming it into a huge garden that we feed our family and our friends with. So seeing her there, I knew I had reached a point where I had achieved some good balance.
Ah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it was like, you know, I had arrived. So
that's awesome. I mean, and so you'll probably make that connection when you scrapbook it?
Absolutely, because she's very symbolic of the work that we put into the garden. She's very symbolic of the environment and kind of the little ecosystem that we were able to create in the garden. And so often in the garden, we find bad bugs and spend our time trying to kill them off. It was really, really rewarding to find a good bug. And she, you know, symbolizes that journey that we've had with our home and making, you know, the place that we bought 5 years ago become a real home for us.
Now, these photos are wonderful. Do you have any tips for for any of us who want to take a picture of a bug?
It's patience, first of all, because bugs like to move typically, and you know, the closer you get, the more they want to move out of the frame. And for both of those photos, I took them with a macro lens, and so a macro lens is going to really help you get in much closer to the bug. You let you show a lot of detail of the bug, so that it stands out, and you do it the best justice in the frame. And both of them too were taken in late afternoon light, so you get a really even light. You're not then having to mess with too bright or not enough light. That even light gives you much sharper, nicer focus.
This is really great. When I think about recurring visitors, I always think about people who have like a deer in their yard. Ronnie or Carrie, do you guys have any critters that are recurring visitors to your home?
I have geckos.
No, we have feral cats, and that's and stray children. because we really don't. Our yard is probably, you know, the size of people's foyers. So we live in a kind of a community of duplexes in the center of a small town. So there really aren't yards, and you know, other than, you know, we do have birds. I have to say that lots of chickadees. Lots of crows.
Yeah. Ronnie, do you have a recurring?
I have a lot of geckos live in our garden.
They do?
Yeah. I don't know if I've got to know them well enough that I would recognize one from another, like the praying mantis, but yeah, geckos. And I did have a frog who was determined to swim in the pool over the summer. I kept getting him out. And
the same
like,
one?
No.
Do you think it was the same one?
I think it was the same one. I kept rescuing him, like the chlorine's going to do you no good, but every time I go back, he was in there. I'm like, okay.
Okay, so you guys don't have any big, you don't have any scary animals.
I have a skunk that returns.
You do?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, that's a little scary.
You know, it only comes out at night, so we just don't go back into the garden unannounced at night.
That's a good plan.
Yeah, and I have to point out, I live in the middle of the city. You know, sometimes people think that I live on a farm in the middle of nowhere, but I live in the heart of the city. I live close. We have a river that runs through the city, so we have a lot of critters that like to wander in from the river.
Yeah, so do you guys think you'll record any of these recurring visitors?
I have a skunk page.
You do?
I do.
Because
because we were drinking wine out in the garden late one night, and my brother probably had a little too much, and he had my camera and had the flash on it.
Ooh.
And he decided he would see if he could get a photo of the skunk.
And he got him.
And he got it.
Yeah. I'm thinking we have a woodpecker who will come. I haven't paid close enough attention. I actually think it's sort of in spring and then in fall, and he'll go to the corners of our house, high up on the corner, wherever the sun is, and just start pecking. I'm not sure if it's to get insects or make a home. And then so I have to go and bang, like on the corner of the house, like go away. And at first, or I just open, like if I'm in my bedroom and he's on that one, if I just open the sliding door, boom, he's gone. But then they get attenuated to it, right? And then they stop going, and you have to yell louder, bang louder as time goes on. We do have, we put some like metal flashing on one of the corners. Looks pretty ugly. And I'm thinking a visitor my parents, my mom has are koi dogs, which scare the heck out of me. You know, I need to go look this up. People say koi dogs and like as if there's some mix of a coyote and a dog. But I do remember looking it up when I was there, and it's not true. They're coyotes.
Okay. Well, I just found out we have coyotes in this area and a problem with coyotes. And so now they've opened hunting season on coyotes.
Oh,
and I
really?
Had never known.
What does one do when one shoots a coyote? Like,
I don't know. And they also do coyote trapping. Like, there's the shooting, and then there's the trapping. And I don't know, you know,
where they
what
take
you
them.
Do with either. But
they're really noisy at my mom's house in the middle of the night. You'll just hear this whole gang of them crying to each other. Well, I don't know if they're crying, but that's what it sounds like.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't heard them. I would imagine because. You know, where we are is really, we are really in the center of town, and then the town is surrounded by farmland. So I'd imagine the coyotes are in the farm, you know, hanging out, trying to get the cows in the.
Yeah.
We also are apparently have a problem with wild pigs.
In Delaware?
Yes. Can you believe it? I mean, what?
Wild pigs. Huh.
Yeah.
What's the problem with them? What do they do?
Apparently, they're eating the corn and the other produce. I mean, Delaware grows a lot of soybean, a lot of corn, and a lot of asparagus.
They can really damage. Like I, going back to my farm roots, and we used to have them in the foothills nearby where we lived, and they have these crazy tusks, and they'll like dig into the ground, and they'll just destroy it, and so they kind of mess up the topsoil too.
There's a TV show about the Texas hog hunters. You not seen that?
No, I have not.
It's a whole TV show about Texas hog hunters who get hired by farmers to go and get rid of the wild hogs, the pigs.
So now, I somehow thought of pigs as a domesticated animal.
They are. That's a different kind.
Yeah. When they're wild.
It's like cat versus feral cat.
You don't hear of wild. You don't hear of wild cows, though.
No. Although it would be interesting if you did. What would a wild cow do?
Just mad cows.
Moo.
Yeah. It'd stand in front of. Stand in the middle of the road and just stare at you.
Yeah. Well, I hope people will post links in the show notes if they've done any layouts or have any photos of those recurrent animals. Because I know a lot of people do have bears or deer or certain animals, and I just never would have expected that somebody would have that Katrina would have spotted a, like, that's really observant to spot a praying mantis and to know that it's the same one coming back.
Yeah, she was just really unusual looking too.
Yeah.
Which
well, and you have a real defined yard.
Mm-hmm. I do.
Like, for us, we're sort of in the woods, so... But I'm... Yeah. And I haven't created the ecosystem that you have. I have... It's... I love that idea that she's your triumph. That she's that milepost.
I love that it's the symbol of balance. I think that's a really telling state or word when Katrina said that, you know, showed that her garden had balance. And it I would imagine, or be able to take a guess, that maybe applies to Katrina's whole life at this point.
That's
is that
always
finding that balance? Yeah, right. Well, you know, to cultivate a garden like that, you really do have to balance your time and your energy, because it's not easy to do a garden. I mean, I can barely keep stuff alive, so. Yeah. My garden is where things are going to die, but.
Yeah.
But well, I can really appreciate somebody who's put in the time and the effort and been able to not only create, you know, to create a garden, but to have it as a sustainable ecosystem.
Right.
So.
Well, and so, and also that bug's a good illustration of Katrina's values.
Yes.
It is. It really is.
So let's talk about, Ronnie has a picture of a really unusual pet.
Do I'm a red Mexican red-kneed Mexican tarantula, which I do not know. I was trying to think about it. I don't have any memory of persuading my mother that this was a good idea. You know, I couldn't imagine the horror I would have of my kids coming and asking me if they could have a pet tarantula now. But I don't have any memory of, you know, it being an issue.
It's just, do you remember getting it and wanting it?
I remember getting it. A teacher at school, my PE teacher at school, gave it me. He was getting rid of it, and I said, I remember saying, you know, I'll have it. And it, you know,
Did you hold it?
Hold it. Not often. It wasn't something that you cuddle and do that sort of stuff. No, it lived in a tank in my bedroom. It lived in my bedroom. I had a friend sleep over one time, and, you know, she knew it was there, and she said she woke up in the middle of the night and she was sure she felt it crawl up on her back, and she spent apparently the next 3 hours just lying there still because the spider she had, it hadn't got out that time, but the spider did get out and met a gruesome death because we went on vacation, and this is the story I need to scrapbook. We were going on vacation, and tarantulas molt. I didn't know that before I had a tarantula, but I learned that. And they molt, and they lose their outer casing. But they don't need feeding often. So my mother had somebody coming in to water the plants. And we told her, don't worry, the spider is upstairs, there's nothing to worry about, you don't have to do anything, you know, it'll be just fine. But during the molt, it was an older spider, that's why he was getting rid of it, and he molted and somehow managed to scale a glass fish tank, and not a small glass fish tank, I'm talking probably, you know, the taller than a standard ruler. And get down that, up and down that, and then down, and it came. We had a.
I can't believe you didn't have a cover on that.
It had. Yeah, no cover, and it came because spider. You know, it didn't climb glass. You know, and it managed to get downstairs because we had a 2-story house.
Is that because it had molted or something?
Yeah, I guess it was on the lookout for food. But this poor lady came in and thought, saw the spider and thought, oh, they must have a toy spider as well, and picked it up. Which, you know, I wasn't there, so I didn't see it, but you can imagine an older lady picking a spider up that she thinks is plastic, and it moves, and she promptly dropped. He was called Robert the Bruce. And she dropped him, and a spider's abdomen is really thin, and it you know, on a, if you drop it from a height, the impact breaks the spider's thing. But she didn't know that. So we get home from vacation, and she tells us this story about finding the spider and how then she promptly spent the next 6 hours trying to get the spider into this case that she went and found. And this poor spider had been, you know, put in this case and had sat there, you know, slowly bled to death, I guess. She'd spent 6 hours when the spider wasn't going to survive whatever had happened. I don't have a picture of the real spider. I don't have that many pictures from my teenage years, but
you were
really
a teenager? I was imagining you were like an 8-year-old kid.
No.
You were the chick with the tarantula.
I was the chick. I had a tarantula, I had an African snail, and I had some African tree frogs. You know, the little bright green frogs?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I used to go to the pet store and buy my crickets, and I used to feed them. This was my teenage, you know, rebellious mode.
Yeah.
I didn't dress in black. I didn't smoke. I didn't do drugs, drink. You know, I had strange pets.
That's the story I'd love to see, you and your collection of pets.
I now as a mother, I just cannot. I guess my mom probably thought, well, if that's all she's doing, just fine, you know. I don't know.
the other day at office hours at Masterful, Bev came and she shared pictures of the new snake in her house. But what I thought was really nice about the page was she used a digital out of bounds technique.
Yeah,
you know?
I saw that one on in the gallery. It's really
that was cool.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's often a cool thing to use with an animal because, and for anybody who doesn't know, you extract like part of the animal and layer it over your photo, so it's like exiting the frame of the photo, and then it feels like it's sort of coming right at you.
Mm-hmm. So it really worked well on that layout. It's in the Get It Scrap galleries.
Yeah, it did. Do you guys have any? Have you guys had any strange pets, or what about the story of you know the kid who finds the frog or the butterfly and must
Ian,
capture
Ian
it?
Ian found a snake, and it was a snake that looked like a really big worm. Uh-huh. And so we thought he just found this really, really gigantic earthworm, and he brought it in and put it in one of those bug containers that they, you know, they like every grandparent.
Their netting,
gives.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, he filled it, and then we realized that's not a worm. and we looked it up and realized we have this snake. And then we had to break the news to him. I think he was five. We had to break the news to him that it, you know, it's not going to live in the house, that this needs to be outside. And he was convinced that we could find food for it. And he was so sad. And finally we took it to the garden and we told him, you know, it'll live in this garden bed and you can come back and visit it. And, but it's going to hide from you. It'll always hide from you. And, but we'll know it's here.
Good one, Katrina.
And thankfully, he's now 3 years later, and he's forgotten about the snake that hides in the garden.
And yeah, he
his
rolled
name
with
was
it,
Sharpie.
Huh?
Sharpie, what a great name!
Did you say Sharpie?
Yeah.
That gets me thinking about the pet graves.
Oh.
You know, that prompts me, you know, pet graves. Oh. We moved into a new house in September and there's a little graveyard on the side of the house.
There
My
is?
Daughter's is like, yeah, she's like, why didn't they take them with them? I'm like, we didn't bring the hamster from our...
Like, are these graves marked?
Yeah, these graves are marked. I mean, nobody would know that our hamster is buried in our garden at our old house, but these have little markings. You know, like, you know, they're not doing anybody any harm. It's just like, they should have taken them. I'm like, I don't think so.
Yeah. I just know that whenever my kids have found, when they were young, and like Isaac had a toad once that he found, and, you know, of course we have that netting thing that you put it in. You know what I mean? Like a cage, a curved cage that's wire mesh.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a picture of him just heartbroken, sitting there watching it come out of there and knowing it's going to leave. I mean, and my niece got a butterfly last summer. I was with her and I thought what was interesting, she had those silly bands on, their bracelets that are very colorful. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, when they're like shapes.
Yeah, and I think she had one wrapped around her finger or something. So this butterfly just came right to her hand. And we were in a meadow, and it stayed on her hand all the way back to the house. But it was really bothering her by the time we got there because the butterfly had really scratchy legs, you know? Like, right, don't they have, like, all kinds of little things that help them climb or whatever? But that was pretty cool because it was such a colorful picture with the silly bands and, you know, her pretty shirt. And I think she just felt like it had picked her out.
Oh, you know, my niece, I don't know. I don't remember if it was a frog that she found. And she had it in just a little shoebox. And of course, my sister hates wild things, I guess I should say. So she didn't know what to do. And, you know, my niece really was just in love with this thing. And all I remember is the shoebox, really. I don't remember what was in it. But my sister didn't really like it. So when my niece went to bed, my sister decided to open up the window tie off a piece of string onto like a kitchen, I think it was in the kitchen, on the kitchen chair, and then hang it out the window. So when my niece woke up, she really thought that the critter got out of the box, got a rope, and climbed out the window.
Did a whole Rapunzel thing.
Did a jailbreak. Which I thought was a clever way of dealing with it.
Okay, we got a theme going on here. Clever parents, clever ruses to help children deal with pets they can't keep, or you know, critters they can't keep as pets. You know, jailbreak.
I feel like I have a few years before I can write it down. I don't want him to know the truth yet.
You can't let it out. You can't tell all the secrets yet.
Absolutely. Yeah, that'll just be your story. Well, and let's talk about critters that we run into that cause us problems or that we're afraid of. Carrie, tell us about your pictures and what happened.
Well, I have two pictures, and they were taken one right after the other. We live on, you know, very close to the ocean in the Delaware Bay. So every summer we like to go to the beach. But my son has Asperger's syndrome, and our local beach can get, you know, or has been getting very crowded because it's becoming very popular. So back in 2012, I wanted to find him kind of a closer, quieter beach because he doesn't like all that, you know, all the noise from the beachgoers and the kids screaming, and he has a little bit of anxiety. So he's like, is there a shark in the water? Why are these kids screaming? Yeah, he gets really freaked out. He does not like nature at all. So I wanted to find him kind of a beach closer to home that was quieter, that we could just, you know, go have an afternoon swim for an hour or two and then go home, no fuss, no trouble. So I was so proud of myself. I found this beach. It was probably about 10 minutes away from our house. You know, we don't have to deal with the traffic from the tourists or, you know, and we can be in, out, and we're good. And so I pumped him up for it and told him it was going to be the best beach ever, and it was going to be our beach, and we'd have so much fun. So I take him to this beach after building him up for this, and we get there, and it's empty. It's great. We go into the water. You know, this. I remember that the sand was really, really hot on our feet, but that's not unusual. But I should have known.
That there was a reason it was empty?
A reason it was empty, that there is, you know, that the sand being really hot was maybe a kind of the universe telling me not a good idea. So we go in the water, and it's different, but you know, I'm doing my best to sell him this beach still, and he seems to be getting it. You know, he's okay. I'm probably a little bit more freaked out because I don't like the feeling of the squishy dirt. Because usually the beach we go to is on a nice sandbar. It's soft. You don't sink. But this one was like your feet sank into like what felt like mud. So.
Oh.
Yeah. But so I was probably a little bit more uncomfortable than he was at that point. So we do our swimming, and we decide, you know, we want to build like a sandcastle. And we went up to the shore, you know, just at the edge of the water. And all of a sudden, out of nowhere comes like flies, just biting flies.
Oh. And were they big ones with shiny green heads?
Now, you know, I don't remember now. I seem to think, because at first I thought they were maybe horse flies, but they weren't big. So after reading about flies now, because I had to figure out what they were, apparently there are a lot of different kind of biting flies.
Oh, really?
Yes. I did not know that, like in different parts of the country and that like moist environments. So these flies attacked us, and you know, I was like, forget it, let's go. he was probably halfway up the beach by then. But every time we go to the beach, I like to have pictures of them. So even though these flies were attacking them,
stand still, honey.
I made him pose for these pictures. And that's why in the pictures, he just has this very pained look on his face. And he is trying because he wants to make me happy. He likes the tradition of having the beach picture. But he's, getting bit by these flies.
And you've scrapbooked these photos twice.
I did, because the first time I scrapbooked them was probably immediately after, because I wanted to remember the details. And I think I had a beach kit I wanted to use, or a water kit. So I got those details down. And then the second time I did, more recently, thinking about the larger story, which is, as his mom, I want so much to make things easy for him and comfortable, and I want him to, but I still want to push him to have new experiences, and just sometimes it just doesn't work out that way.
Yeah.
You have all these intentions as a parent, and then usually they never, for me, and especially with Asperger's, it's like it just goes wrong. And if we can survive that kind of, those disasters that come out of our intentions, then, we're doing okay.
Do you enjoy it? Is it okay? Is it easy or okay for you to scrapbook those tough kind of pages?
Yeah, I think so, because he was diagnosed kind of late with Asperger's syndrome. He was born in 2001, so I guess it was right as maybe autism was coming more to be recognized. And I knew he was different, but like nobody listened because I was a new mom, whatever.
Oh.
And it really took my husband, who's a therapist, and he's my son's stepfather. So it really took him going to the pediatrician with me and saying, we're not leaving this office without an evaluation. And so I think through that, it's, from having to like push even have somebody else push for him to have an evaluation for the diagnosis, and knowing, this was most likely what was going on. I'm not uncomfortable talking about it or scrapbooking about it because, it's who he is, and, learning about it has given me the tools to help him. So, and if I talk about it on the pages, and he later reads the pages, then, I want him to understand,
yep,
where I was coming from, what it was like for me as a parent, what my hopes and intentions were, and how I didn't always get it right. So,
that's great that you get it down.
Yeah. I really want him to have that, because and that maybe partly come out of the fact that he just thinks I'm the meanest person in the world.
I think all children think that. I don't think that. And I think that's an important message we can all give our kids is, giving birth and having a child is not something anyone takes a qualification for. And we try our best and we don't always get it right. I'm sorry.
It's not possible.
We didn't plan to make that mistake,
So do you guys, does anybody else have stories about run-ins with creatures?
Yes, I just talking about those spiders took me back to a beach in 1976 in the south of France. The summer of 76 in Europe was really hot. And there was a plague of you call them ladybirds, I call them ladybugs, all over the place. And the sea was literally covered in ladybugs.
Oh, and really?
Everywhere. And they were biting you.
Ladybugs? I think of them as the nice little bugs.
Not they're nice when there's one or two of them. But if you can imagine a plague of them and they're everywhere, they're in your hair, they're just literally everywhere.
Wow.
And we were on vacation camping with my cousins. And I, my cousin, Ben, and I collected jam jars full of ladybugs. And screwed the lids on them, and they were packed in there, like
wow.
Beans in a can of beans, because we're trying to get rid of some of these ladybugs.
Wow.
I was Googling the date. I'm like, okay, when was that plague? And there's a Wikipedia entry about the ladybugs in like in 76, so I need to get that page down.
Yeah, my scary critter is bats. I've always been afraid of bats. We would sometimes have bats in our attic when I was growing up, and my bedroom was right at the base of the stairway to the, like, it was right next to the doorway to the attic. And once in a while, a bat would get out. And then when we bought the house that we live in now, my son was not quite a year old. And in May, all of a sudden, every night, there would be bats in our bedroom. And the first couple nights, like, I was just so brave and so cool. It's okay, honey. I got it. You know what I mean? Like, I'd get up, I'd open the sliding door, go out. And as it went on, I got more and more terrified. And I couldn't be of any help. And it turned out that they were baby bats who were just learning how to fly. And so they would come back into the attic. And I mean, there was a hole going into the attic, which we had to have taken care of. But they would just have a hard time when they were coming back, because it would always be like 3 a.m. So I guess when they would come home, they would get to the wrong place. So we had the Batman came, and I remember sitting in lawn chairs with another friend and her 1 year old, my mommy friend, and we sat out there and watched these guys on our roof. And they put in a thing where the bats can fly out, but they can't fly back in, like a one way
kind
of
bat
shoot.
Door.
And I think it's just some kind of netting or something that they can, you know what I mean? They can get out of it, but then they can't get back in it. So bats now always have scared me. But I was so cool about it. Like the first couple nights, I wanted to show, you know what I mean? This is cool.
You don't want to freak the kids out either.
Well, and Josh was just a year old, so he was like in his crib. But of course, you know, I've got his door shut. And I don't know. It was freaky.
I mean, that would scare me.
I don't know. And I think as I've gotten older, I just don't like, we had a squirrel in our basement a few years ago. And for some reason, that was really freaking me out. And we were trying things like blowing musical instruments really loudly to scare it out. But I think that if it hurt us, it wasn't going out. So then I came up with this plan. It was the winter. So I opened the, what do you call those doors for a basement that sort of open up the...
The basement doors?
Yeah, you know, the slopey ones.
The storm doors.
You know, there's those slopey doors that go to the basement. I know there's a name for it.
I don't know.
So I opened them up, and it was winter, and I stood out there for like 2 hours because I wanted to see it exit. And I had crackers with peanut butter on them going all the way up the stairs. But I really wanted to know that it left. And then as I was watching it, my kids yelled or something, and I went running, and I slammed my head into a low tree branch and knocked myself on the ground. Like, it was that silly. I think I did scrapbook it. I'll have to find that page. And I never did see it exit, but it did seem to be gone.
No, they can be stealthy. Our cats brought in, when I was growing up, we lived surrounded by woods, and my mother loved critters, anything. She, you know, raccoons, whatever. And she always kept the back door open to our porch when it was nice. And we had cats, and one of our cats brought in a baby squirrel, and they failed to kill it. And the baby squirrel went under the stove, like in between the stove and the cabinets, I guess they could get back there. And that baby squirrel lived there for about a year. It would come out and eat the cat food, and the cats, I mean, the cats got acclimated to it and wouldn't bother it.
You know, my feeling about the critters is, if I don't know they're in the house, cool. Do you know
what I mean? But we knew, because occasionally you'd see it run out and get something and then run back.
Yeah, see, that freaks me out. When we changed the dishwasher the first time after we moved in here, there were lots and lots of nutshells and stuff on top of the old dishwasher when we pulled it out.
Well, finally, the cabinets, my parents redid their cabinets, and I guess during that commotion, the squirrel decided to go live outside again. So,
I used to have a cat that brought us ducklings.
Dead?
They were either dead or alive. It depended on how fast I could get to them. So we used to live near a canal, and it would go... the cat would, I guess, go to the canal, find the baby ducklings, and bring them home. And he'd be so excited about them, he'd deposit them in the living room and say, "Hey, look what I brought you." You're like, "Quick, catch the duck." But then then you have this duckling. And you're like, well, what do I do? I don't know where its mother is. I don't know. So we used to live near, it was a place called Martin Mere. This is back in England, and it's a wild fowl trust place. They have lots of water animals. And I would take these ducklings there and say, I'm sorry, the cat brought me another one. Like, I don't know what to do with it. Please look after it. Because I couldn't kill the duck. And I couldn't, you know, I didn't want to just leave it on the canal on its own. And so I'd take it to them and say, have another one for collection.
I wonder how many baby ducklings you were responsible for.
I probably took like 5 or 6 there over a time. So it's like, and I buried probably an equal number. I mean, like, stop doing this.
So do you have any story after this conversation? Are there any pages now on your lists to make?
Yep.
What are you going to make?
I'm doing my ladybugs. I'm doing the cat and the ducks.
That's a good one.
Katrina, do you have any other pages you're gonna do?
I do. I have to tell the story of my bird's grave in our backyard. Oh. And probably more so the year it lived in the refrigerator before it made it to the grave. Yeah. It lived in the freezer, not the refrigerator, the freezer.
What happened?
Well, he was 17, so he died. He lived a very full life. His name was Elvis, and then, you know, he left the building.
There's your title.
Yeah.
And my son really wanted to have a service for him. And it was a busy time of year. It was right at the beginning of the school year. And I said, well, we'll have a service, but we're going to need to wait a couple weekends. And so I wrapped him up in a Chipotle bag and put him in the freezer.
You had to wait a couple weekends because what? You're bringing in the whole, like, you're catering it? And...
Yeah, exactly. We need to make all the arrangements.
Organize the event.
You're having songs written.
So it just became out of sight, out of mind. And every now and then he'd look at me and he'd say, Mom, can we please bury Elvis?
I haven't got the caterer yet.
I just can't find the right one. What flowers do you need to come to?
Your grandmother has to travel from out of state.
We have people that need to be here. And so when we remodeled our kitchen over the summer, we put the refrigerator. And my husband, I just can't put the bird into the new freezer. We have to bury
it. How'd that go? Did you get buried?
It was very sad and somber. And he had made a headstone for him, and the caterer never showed up.
That's a really good story.
That's a great story.
Because how many things do we put off? But that's really going pretty far out to keep a bird in your freezer for a year. That's a good story. These are all great stories. Thank you so much, guys, for sharing these. So we'll let Katrina catch her breath before she tells us again what she's going on. Gary, where can people find you, and what have you got going on that we might want to know about?
You can find me at digiscrapgeek.blogspot.com. That's my personal blog, and I'm not really good at blogging there. And then a few times a month, you can find me at myscrapbookart.com.
You do that, are you doing hosting the gallery standouts?
Well, I do the gallery standouts, and, you know, we rotate through different things. I think the most recent content I did was all about the color purple.
Huh.
Yeah, so to start the new year off, since that's the color of the year.
So you're writing articles too.
Yeah, so I'm writing articles there and doing gallery standouts, and we're doing a photo a day challenge for January, which is fun, but awesome. I'm not very good at because I always forget.
Yeah, and for anybody who's not familiar, so My Scrapbook Art is a Do they have a gallery where you can post layouts with anybody's product on them?
Oh, absolutely.
So that's one of those galleries where you don't have to use the store product. And then they also, do they sell a monthly kit or collaborative or something?
Well, they do a couple things. The first is the feature presentation pass. And for $10, you get a kit for every month. So we just did release the first one, which is from Peppermint Creative. And then in February, there'll be another one. So, and then we do a collab with three designers. And that's the Art Social. And it's usually, you can usually pick it up. It's a big kit that you can usually pick up for about $1.99, which is a great deal.
Yeah.
I don't know who's doing it this month. And then, you know, occasionally we have, you know, a free template every month and lots of different things. So it's always good to check out the store there to see what's going on.
Okay. And Gallery Standouts is finding a bunch of layouts all over the web that are inspiring and cool, right?
Right.
True.
Right. We post, you know, write a little thing about why we picked the layouts we did. So
that's a great inspiration post. I like having that on my Feedly, and I always end up pinning a lot of those. It's a great way, if you don't have time to hit all the digital galleries, it's a great way to check things out.
Yeah, it's one of my favorite things to do because I'll look at every single layout from the gallery for that week. So I go through a ton. I mean, hundreds, if not more, especially if it's a big weekend.
Well, and this is a great segue into Ronnie because Ronnie just had a layout in Gallery Standouts.
I did. I was made my day. I was like running around the house. My daughter's like, "Why are you running to tell me that?" I said, "Come see, come see." that means she found out though that I had done that layout with those pictures that I had stolen from her Instagram feed. But you know. I paid for the iPhone, so really, they're my pictures. Are they not?
Yeah, I think that was a conversation the other day in office hours. Some mothers are stalkers.
Yep, definitely stalkers. So yes, you can find me. I'm more post at my Facebook page, Going Digi, and my Facebook page than my blog, because I can do it sort of instantaneous than having to write a full blog post.
Yep.
And I think I get more traffic there anyway, so.
Is that just your personal Facebook page or a digital?
No, I made a Facebook page called Going Digi.
Okay.
So
you'll give me the link. You've already gave me the link to that.
Yeah, I gave you the link to that. I don't like to bore all my friends who are not scrappers with all my layouts, so I decided to create that so people who wanted to see what I was scrapbooking could see it. So.
Yeah. I see a lot of Carrie's pages on. I'm somehow a friend of. I'm a friend of Carrie's on Flickr.
Right.
I see her pages there.
Yeah, I post a lot on Flickr as well, and several of the groups on Flickr.
Cool.
So I enjoy that. And you'll find me as at Get It Scraps and Simple Scrappers in the forums, and posting my layouts. I have. Sold scrapbooking supplies and got deep in doing that and stopped scrapping as an individual, and I much prefer not doing that. I like to scrapbook what I please when I please, you know, doing it for fun.
Yeah.
So
good.
No stress.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad you were here. Katrina, tell us where everybody can find you and what you've got going on.
You can find me at captureyour365.com, where we have a monthly idea list for daily photo challenges, and also a free email that goes out daily to help inspire your daily photo taking. And I also have going on right now an 8-year-old who just walked into the room with a new fish in a bag. So we added to those pets. And we'll also be doing a year-long class called Practice, all about practicing the skills around your camera.
Oh. Has it started?
It starts February 4th.
Oh, cool. So people can find that at your site.
They sure can.
So every month there'll be...
Yeah, every month there will be a new lesson, and it'll dig in kind of deep into an aspect of photography. So we're starting off with aperture, and the idea is that we meld two technical and two creative assignments into the lesson, and then each month we'll have a photo discussion where we do a little photo critiquing of the photos that you've taken and talk about ideas and answer questions. And there's also a forum and a gallery for sharing photos for that class.
And you have a really active community.
We have a community that is really active and always grows in January. And this year we grew beyond anything I could ever imagine. We had more traffic on the site than we've ever had.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Why January? Yeah, everybody decides I'm going
to
do
everybody
it this
decides
year
to start their 365 on January 1st. You know, it just feels like the right thing to do.
Yeah.
And usually, you know, in past years, by about this point, we've seen a lot of people drop off, but we have a really solid group of folks that are hanging in there. And even for people who aren't doing a photo a day, there's still stuff there about photography and learning the ins and outs of your camera so that you can get the best photos.
Awesome. Thank you for being here.
Thanks for having me.
I'm Debbie Hatch. I'm at getitscrap.com, and I would love it if people would check out our free application called Story Swoop. You can answer 5 prompts about a photo and then leave them there in the library and come back and work with them later, or output a writing guide if you want some help shaping a story. And that's free at Get It Scrapped. So thank you, everybody, for sharing your photo stories.